is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely gorgeous co-host.
It's me.
It's Miss On a Bike.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Do you know my favourite film?
I've got no idea. Is it Red October?
No. Yeah, I see what you did there.
That's quick thinking, eh?
It was quick, yeah.
Thank you.
The reason for that, listener, that you can't see,
because like he's driving
a U-boat, Captain.
The undersea boat.
Yeah, I've got a white roll neck on. Anyway, now, well, I was going to be equally facetious and tell you. Almost. When I was a kid, my dad used to insist on watching it every Christmas, which was African Queen with Humphrey Bogart.
It's beautiful.
African Queen. That will become clear as the show carries on. Yeah.
I had to quickly ring my really great friend Lisa Settle and tell her.
Yeah.
Because I thought I don't want to shock her.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so there you go. So I had to tell her to prepare her before now. So, yeah. Anyway, how are you? Well, I want to hear about your rubbish week.
No.
It's hilarious.
I had the week from hell last week. I had absolute week from hell. If it could go wrong, it went wrong. If it couldn't go wrong, it went anyway. And if it did go wrong, it went wrong some more.
Wow, how did you deal with it?
Cried.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I did. Cried, got very angry, got upset, and then just gave in, basically.
Okay.
Just let it wash over me.
Right.
Very stressful, though.
I bet.
But there you go. Such is life. And then they brought out coronavirus just to make it better.
Yeah. Everything's stopping, right?
Oh, it's insane.
We came back from Rwanda on Saturday night and Gatwick was empty.
Yeah.
It was really eerie, actually. It was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And our flights, Stephen just said, no, we were going snowboarding in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And we were flying into Italy and they've cancelled all the flights.
Yeah. Well, I was a bit worried about Lucia being here. She's Italian. I had to check that she hadn't been home recently.
Oh, really? She came in.
Yeah.
You're mean.
I know, I'm horrible, aren't I? Yeah.
What is this? I mean, it's the law. It's the law.
Yeah.
And it's like a 4-page document about...
Because everyone would have read it.
Well, I came in straight away and looked at it.
Yeah, so well, and we got disinfectant wipes and everything.
How did you find that?
Let me answer one question at a time.
Well, yeah. I've got lots to talk to you about.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway,
yeah.
Toilet rolls. Let's just talk toilet rolls. Do any of your friends have a stack of toilet rolls?
No.
No. Where have they gone?
Yeah, I know.
Because everybody I've spoken to, you have not.
I asked a question this morning because I could not get toilet roll when I wanted to. So I asked the shop clerk what is going on, because I didn't understand the connection between toilet roll and the obvious coronavirus. And she said it's because they run out of facial tissue and it's less expensive to buy toilet roll. It's about blowing your nose.
But I don't know anybody who has gone out to the shops and bought an excess amount of toilet rolls yet. I'm yet to meet somebody. So where are they?
I mean people,
or the toilet rolls
out of the co-op.
Oh really, arms full.
They've been stockpiling since
the
Brexit.
Co-op has implemented a restriction on how many packages of toilet roll you can purchase at one time.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The problem is you get idiot. I nearly used a swear word there. There's a person on Twitter called James Melville who has a big following, and he's an idiot. He's a complete idiot. And he started tweeting that there's only 2 weeks' supply of toilet roll ever in the UK, and because all the wood pulp for toilet roll comes from Europe, we're never going to have any toilet roll. Every single one of those things is a lie. Yeah, it's just wrong. Yeah, there are more than 30 manufacturers of toilet roll in the UK alone, and we source wood chip for toilet rolls from all over the world, as well as the UK.
If I was them, I would love it.
Yeah.
I'd be well up in my business. I'd up the scale. Oh, amazing. amazing.
I was chatting to a small toilet roll manufacturer in Blackburn.
Called Andrex.
No. That's Kimberly Clark. They're in Maidstone. They're in Maidstone, knocking out Andrex. But because here in Kent, we used to have dozens of paper mills. And that's where I started. My first job was in a paper mill. But we didn't make toilet roll. Not deliberately, anyway. But I was chatting to a small toilet roll manufacturer in Blackburn, and they were saying, yeah, they're really knocking it out.
They're
double production and everything. Because people are buying it, you know, because they don't need to, but they are. Yeah. Crazy stuff, isn't it? It's just crazy stuff. I was in Tesco's on Saturday night. I just popped down to Tesco's to get a couple of bits, and I had a headache, yeah, after the week I had. So I thought, I'd better get some paracetamol. Oh, no. People have bulk. Not that you can bulk buy paracetamol because you're only allowed two packets or something before they call the security people.
32 tablets you're allowed.
Yeah. But everybody had got their two packets. It was gone. The shelves were empty. It's ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I've got a couple of friends who are in obviously nursing. And it's not necessarily... I've got a dear friend who's absolutely riddled with anxiety over this.
Right.
And I really respect that.
Yeah.
For me, I think we all need to take our personal responsibility for our own health and our immune system. So get yourself eating great food. You know, look after your body. Do all the things you need to do for your responsibility of self, and then stop smirking. And
sorry.
Then I can't help it.
I was going to volunteer to look after somebody else's body.
Yes, no, just your own will be fine.
Okay. All right.
And then, you know, just think about, are there anybody around you or friends who have people that are elderly or they're what we call their immune system is suppressed? So anybody who would be high risk, just don't go in contact with them, you know. And if you've got kids at school, then my friend's really, really paranoid. I mean, you know, in tears, she's like, Bird, what am I going to do? And I said, well, look, if that makes you happier, you know, I haven't gone around and seen her. I talk, you know, and you've just got to respect that's how somebody is.
I'm smiling because...
You're smirking. You're not smiling.
No, I'm smiling. Did you see? It was a video. And I did retweet it on Twitter. It just made me... It did make me chuckle. It said, parents... worried about coronavirus, stockpiling toilet rolls and da-da-da-da-da, kids. And then it had a video of this little girl, and she was walking along the street, and there was a railings, and she was walking along, and she was licking the railings.
That is brilliant. Yeah. It is hilarious.
Yeah.
So the gifts have begun.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. One lovely, it's like your twin is on GIF at the minute.
Well, go on.
Oh, no, Amanda's put a lovely one, welcome aboard, and she's got exactly your outfit that you've got on there now. So, Amanda Flanders. Hi, Vanilla Web, Burden and Bike. Have a great show. We will love. And also, before we get really going, Ethel Bray have been on, and they've put a gif in. Amanda Flanders, they beat you, my love. They beat you on the gif off. They put, thanks for doing ours on Stress Day on the 23rd of April. Sadly, we will be another listen again option, as in Sussex all day, working on new leadership programme. Have a great one, and trust all will be masked up and sanitised. Here's a gift for Burden and Bike to get her started, and it's a gift. So thank you very much, Ethel Bray. Amanda, you're slacking, love. They had it at five hours ago.
Not before they set off for darkest Sussex, presumably.
Exactly.
I just want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, lovely folks at Fit for Trade. They offer flexible training solutions for the glass and glazing industry and also for the wider construction sector.
World Wide Web.
Thank you. Fitfortrade.co.uk for all your occupational compliance and peace of mind. Do check them out. They're lovely folks.
I was just laughing because Tracy Ferguson said, how does Mr. Andrews know so much? He doesn't. Do you know a lot, don't you?
Now, do you know what? I'm just a manic reader. I just love reading stuff. And also, they invented the internet just for me. Because the internet is the perfect thing for me, or Google.
Yeah.
It's the perfect thing for me because I read something and I think, oh, that's interesting. How do I find out more?
Yeah.
And nowadays it's just a click, yeah? And then you read Wikipedia and you think that's nonsense. And then sometimes I end up very late at night deep in a website somewhere, not that kind of website, deep in a website somewhere going, how on earth did I get to, you know, trying to trace my way back to how I got to whatever I'm reading.
We need to do something with these gifts because they're hilarious. So Tracy Ferguson's put on a great gift. She's put, how does Mr. Andrews know so much just about everything. And that she's got Bart Simpson, I think, is doing a toilet turn or something like that. It's very funny. It's all about loo roll manufacturing.
Oh, right.
Tracy, I have no idea how he knows that.
Did you see the gift from Tenterton Toilets as well?
No.
Yeah. They had a builder's van, right? And today? Yeah. Or last night, yeah. On the back, it's a dirty builder's van. And in the dirt on the back of the van, someone's put no toilet roll stored in this van overnight.
Hilarious.
Which I thought was quite good. I've had a serious tweet from Neville Gaunt. He's getting all serious, yeah?
Is he?
Yeah.
We haven't heard from Neville for a long time. No, why is he getting all
up? But in line with what we're talking about.
And
he said, hi, Bud and Mike and Vanilla Web. Good to give the business community some advice on how to use digital options for communication rather than travel or when meeting conferences are cancelled. Time to be smart and use some common sense.
I agree.
Yeah. So we won't talk about that then?
No.
Not on this show, not common sense.
Don't be silly, Neville.
But it's true. I want to say, I don't want people to start cancelling things willy-nilly, just because it's just silly, yeah? The government guidelines are saying that they are thinking about restricting big things like rock concerts and maybe football matches and big sporting events. They're not talking about restricting anything else. And if you think about it, if you've got, like a trade show or a networking event or something like that, you're only going to meet a few hundred people. And most of them, you would meet more people on the train going to London than you would at something like that. So, you know, pulling out of things just for that is silly. Most of the things that I know about are happening outside of London anyway, and you can drive there in a car. So you're going to meet far fewer people doing that than if you were on the tube. Mm. Yeah. So let's not overreact. But also, if you haven't got anything organised already and you're thinking of organising something, and this isn't just about coronavirus either, why don't you think about this from a climate point of view too? You know, do we need to go to so many meetings? We've got technology to help us now. You know, you can use Zoom or Skype or the phone, or email, or all kinds of ways, or webinars.
Yeah, well, that leads me very beautifully, and anybody think we've done
this? Well, this is produced. Yeah, we've been practicing this all week.
So I've had to adapt a new way of doing business, haven't I?
Mm-hmm, you have.
Because I'm doing something.
You are, which you're going to tell us about in a minute, because we might as well get it out of the way, otherwise this show's going to be...
Do you want it told now? Or
What do you want to do now? Well, hold on. I guess we ought to, otherwise we're going to be dancing around this like two teenagers that dance around their handbags at a disco, aren't we? Nobody will get that reference. Nobody's old enough. But we ought to get this out of the way, because the fact is, dear listeners, we're about to lose Bird.
Yeah.
We are, and I'm deeply upset. But I'm also...
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Who am I going to get?
Yeah.
That's how much upset got you.
No. I am deeply upset and I miss you dreadfully. But I'm also pleased that you're doing something...
Extraordinary, isn't it? It is really extraordinary.
Because you're moving, aren't you?
I am.
But you're not just doing it by office. You're not becoming a pirate again. You're not just going back to Plymouth or something daft like that.
No.
Oh, no, you're going the whole hog, aren't you?
Yeah.
Tell the listener what you're doing.
Well, Stephen and myself are moving to Rwanda.
Rwanda?
Yeah.
That's in Africa.
East Africa.
Yeah, it's in East Africa.
Yeah.
It's the cradle of civilization.
Yeah, we're moving to an amazing city called Kigali, which is their capital.
Yep.
And we're moving there for a couple of years.
And when are you going?
End of April.
Right.
7 weeks' time.
I know.
You know?
I don't know where to start. I'm quite shocked.
I've just told a load of clients and they've cried. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, I'm crying too. But I'm also interested because Rwanda, I think most people's knowledge of Rwanda would be if they were old enough to remember the famine and the civil war and everything in Rwanda.
26 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, which was, for someone of my age, it's only yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But that's most people's knowledge of Rwanda is from that. And it was horrible, yeah?
Yeah. Well, here's the honesty. When I went to see the memorial that they've got there, I actually felt awful. I felt so sad because I didn't even know about it, if I'm really honest.
Well, that's because you don't know everything like I do.
I didn't know everything like you did. And I felt really guilty that this horrific... I mean, there are no words that could say, you know, how many people... The travesty of it all.
Mm.
But no, it's a different country now.
Yeah.
And a different feel, and they are growing at exponential rates.
Africa itself, sub-Saharan Africa, has changed out of all recognition in the last few years. One of my favourite statistics is the population of Africa is just short of 1 billion people, and there are 800 million mobile phones in use in Africa.
Yeah.
And in East Africa, in Rwanda, Kenya, Uganda, those places, they use a mobile app called M-Pesa, which has replaced currency. And because the government or various governments can't get their sticky hands on the currency, it's improved everybody's life no end using technology.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things about, without being rude, about making a leap from third world to first world based on technology that exists. So in countries like the UK, we struggle with broadband because we've got 150 years of technology to cope with. In places like Rwanda, they went from nothing to mobile and satellite stuff because they could, because the technology had been developed. So they actually have a very I was in Uganda a couple of years ago, and I got a better signal standing in the middle of the bush in Uganda than I do in Southeast England on my mobile phone. I got like 100 megabit 4G, and I can't even get 4G at home.
Or Canterbury.
You can't even get 3G, you can still only get Roman numerals in Canterbury. So Africa as a continent in general has really kind of moved up a pace from, the famines and the wars that were happening 20, 25, 30 years ago. But for you, who's been to Rwanda a few times in the last few years, I mean, the very first time you went, what was your impression?
Hilly. Hilly beyond belief.
Right.
So you land in for example, we took our bikes over a couple of months ago and it took us an hour and a half. So they've got this massive lake called Lake Kivu, which is in the north of the country. And it took us an hour and a half to get from the lakeside to the first top of this hill, an hour and a half of climbing, and we're experienced cyclists with our really good bikes. They're not like these old aluminium rock horses that
with a basket on the front.
There was no basket on the front.
Okay.
Or bread in it.
So
it's very hilly, very mountainous, very beautiful, very green, very polite.
Polite.
So polite, so respectful of each other. I'm trying to learn the language, which is hilarious because you see the letters make a word. You think this is how they sound, and it comes out of my mouth in a totally different way.
Oh, I've had trouble with French.
Well, they speak French better than they do English.
What is the local language? Is it a local tribal language or
Nyiranda?
No, I only asked.
Yeah.
No need to be like that.
Yeah, they're Rwandan.
Is a Rwandan language.
Yes.
Okay. And is that the official language? Is that what everybody speaks, or do they speak French or English as an official language?
They would speak their own official language first, then French, then English.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is good, because I can speak French quite well.
Yeah.
Stephen's fluent in French, so that's easy
Mange
enough.
Mange too. Okay.
It's exciting. Exciting.
Cool. Well, you're going to tell us more about it over the coming weeks. You're hanging on here with us in deepest, darkest Kent before you see the light of Rwanda.
I know.
Fantastic. Well, we're sorry to lose you.
I still haven't seen the gorillas. I've been over there a million times now, and I still
They've got some down Port Lyme. Go and have a look at them, mate.
Time I go over, we're working.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Were you looking to see gorillas in the wild, or is there some kind of national park?
Yeah, of course.
Park? No, I didn't know if there was like a national reserve or something.
No, they're just there in the jungle.
You just wander out and go, oh, blimey, there's a gorilla.
They've walked over from the Congo, haven't they, or something?
Yeah, is that like Zimbabwe, where the baboons hang around on your hotel balcony?
No, these things are in, because they don't allow humans to touch them because of disease, cross-contamination. Literally, these are wild gorillas in the... gorillas in the mist?
Yeah.
That's Rwanda.
No, absolutely.
Of course you know that, because you know everything.
I know this through Amanda and her association with the Aspinall Foundation and releasing gorillas back into the wild out there. No, absolutely. Oh, nice one. Cool. Okay. Look.
Who is taking over?
What?
Who is taking over? Me.
No one at the moment.
You won't be on your own on this show.
I've got no one that can do it on a regular basis. Yeah.
Well, you might go back to years ago. Do you remember years and years ago when you used to have a guest co-host?
I did, yeah.
You used to enjoy that.
I might do that. I might, I don't know at the moment. I'm still considering...
You could interview.
I'm still considering my options, yeah. Anyway, look, we got lots of things to do.
Options?
nothing and sod all at the moment.
All right, yeah. Excellent. We got
two great guests that we're going to talk to. We've got some cheesy tunies to play, and we've got dozens of gifts, not just gifts, but tweets, and I want to start reading some of them. Tabba Official, that's a lovely Tracy Ann Barker. Business Bunker Vanilla Web, we'd love a shout-out on this week, please, folks. We recently launched our new corporate social responsibility training. It's £20 off until the 12th of March. If you use code CSR 2025 April, if you follow Tabba, T-A-B-A, underscore official on the Twitter, there's a link and everything for finding out more about their program and for booking it. So do check that out. Bridger House have said, thank you for sharing our content. They've written a really interesting blog about diversity, which is on the Kent Business Radio website. Do check it out, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/diversity.
I've got a funny joke about diversity.
Have you?
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, it's not really a joke. It was a typical boob of mine, really. So when I always hear diversity, I think of the dance group as well, you know?
Yeah.
And my son loves them, absolutely loves them. So I saw that they had tickets coming up. This was while I was in Rwanda last week, while I had a signal. Go figure. Uh-huh. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, my God, you can never get diversity tickets. I booked these tickets. And I looked back and I thought, oh, my God, they're so close. That would be brilliant just before we go to Rwanda, blah, 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 blah. 2021. And you're like, no! You know when you think, I've got to wait a whole year now for these tickets. Anyway, yes.
Cool. I'm going to do one more tweet, then we're going to play some cheesy tunage, then we're going to talk to a guest. Tracy Ferguson has been on Hi Paul Bird and Guests. It sounds like you're having another great show. I'm just at home in time to listen. Can we get a Business Bunker shout-out, please, for the free-to-attend Medway Careers Fair, which is in 15 days' time at the Pentagon Centre in Chatham with jobsinkent.com, and it's sponsored in partnership with the Department of Work and Pensions, Chatham. That's Chatham Jobs Centre. Thank you. You can find out all about it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/pentagon. And it lists the 27 current employers that are going to be there. There will be some more, but there's 27 confirmed and booked. And they're all listed there, so you can find out who's going to be there. There's also going to be some workshops and help with your CV and all kind of stuff. It's all totally free. Opens at 10, closes at 2, and it's in the Pentagon Shopping Centre.
Remind me when we come back in a minute from your cheesy tunes to talk about resumes, and there's the difference. And you know we were talking about CVs?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, you want to hear the difference of here and Rwanda.
Really?
In CVs. Yep.
Yeah, you can tell me all about it after this cheesy tunage. Now, I had to pick this, and I was saying to the ladies earlier, there's not a huge amount of tracks about data analytics and customer experience, strangely.
But so what did you find?
I found a Motown track from the Four Tops, yeah. It's called Just Seven Numbers.
Why?
Why what?
Why?
Why is it called that, or what's the link?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking to Lucia about analytics. So Just Seven Numbers should be all you need, really. I think you'll find. Absolutely. Just seven numbers can put me through you, girl. Then I'll know you're really at home. You haven't been fair to me. Playing all night, jealousy. You say you see some other guy. I don't know the truth from the lie. If I only knew where you were. Just seven numbers. My fingers would only turn the dial. Just seven numbers can put me through you, girl. Just your hello would make me smile. I haven't been fair to myself. I tried to call someone else, but after she said I hung up the telephone line. If I only knew where you were. Just seven numbers can put me straight through to you.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Four tops there. Amanda sent a GIF saying leaving on a jet plane would have been better as a piece of cheesy tunage. What do you think? You're ignoring me, aren't you? You're playing with your phone, aren't you?
Nope.
Did you hear what I said?
Leaving on a jet plane?
Yeah, that was
for
Amanda.
What?
For the cheesy tunage.
Why? What's nothing to do with data?
No, but it's you.
I'm not a guest, though, am I?
Nah, well, you are now.
Well, we'll be.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's what I was going to link it to.
Yeah, go on.
Was the fact that I'm saying to everybody now, because obviously I've got this new business that I'm doing, that actually all the meetings that I'm doing, I want you to be able to do them with me virtually, because I'm trying to teach everybody around me in my business, and forgive me if you're doing it with me and you like, because people still want to meet me in person. I'm like, we can't do that. So I want to build this relationship and be able to have the energy still with each other virtually. See, you're not listening to me now.
I'm listening
you're
to you.
You're on your phone.
You're building,
you're rude.
You're
this
building
is why I'm
virtually.
Going to Rwanda.
I told the guests that not to worry about me looking at them. I'm listening and I heard what you said. Carry on. Carry on waffling.
That's it. I'm done now.
That's it.
What have you got email-wise? Oh, you haven't got anything over there because you're looking at your phone.
No, I am. I'm retweeting the stuff that I'm getting. I'm looking at the tweets. I've had a tweet from the lovely Chris Hyde of Camellia Genics.
Why are you shouting?
Because you're annoying me now. I've had a tweet from Chris Hyde of Camellia Genics, and you can follow him on the Twitter at CamGenics, CamGenix. Chris does, he's a project manager, but he does training, leadership, change management, human factors, systems thinking and lean processes and the art and science of change for the service sector. Give him a follow. He's a lovely guy. And he also happens to be the owner of a radio station called Sound of Spitfire up there in Lincolnshire. And it's brilliant. They're really brilliant. It's a music station. They have fantastic music shows. They've got some great DJs and presenters. Check it out. Have a listen. Sound of Spitfire. Cool.
Should I do an email? I haven't even done an email yet.
Very quickly, because I'm...
Oh, no, then, I won't. No, you carry on. It's your show.
No, you talk... You do
it's
an email.
It's your show. I'm not doing it anymore.
You do an email while Lucia gathers herself together to launch into taking over for the next 20 minutes or so.
Right, OK, I'll do a quick one. The launch of at jobsinkent.com. Jobsinkent.com?
Yeah, well, com
Where's
is...
Where's the dot?
It's a Twitter handle, so you can't put dots in it.
New simple CV template is here. You can use a simple CV if you haven't got a full CV yet, or you can use a simple CV alongside your main CV. Best of all, it's free and easy to use. You can set up in minutes right here at www.wibblywobblyway.jobsinkent.com/simple CV.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Pleasure.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show. She has been on once before. The absolutely lovely Lucia Dello of Dello Analytics. Hello, Lucia.
Hi, Paul and Sarah.
It's good to see you. You can call her Bird, you know. Everybody does.
I know.
A bit.
If you call her Sarah, she doesn't know who you're talking about. Yeah. Do you?
I don't. I don't really recognise Sarah.
So when I'm angry with her, I call her Sarah. And she doesn't know. She goes, hey, what? Mm. Yeah. Anyway, Lucia, welcome back onto the show. It's a pleasure to have you back here. And just to remind those listeners that maybe weren't listening when you were on last time, why don't you just give a quick overview of what Dello Analytics is all about?
Yep. So I set it up last year. And the whole idea behind it is actually that there's data within your business and there's things you actually need to know about your business. But a lot of people can't actually create that data, manipulate the data, and then work it out to actually work out what's happening within the business. Mm. So what I really wanted to do was to put those two things together and say, actually, if you can find a way to get the most important factors in your business and track them and measure them, then actually transform that data into timely management information, how much more successful you could be.
Yeah, absolutely right. For many years, I operated as an angel investor. And so many people would come to me and ask for investment in their business. And the only numbers they knew were the ones they made up for a business plan that said, you know, in 5 years' time, we'll be millionaires. But they didn't actually have a great understanding of what their business was about and how it worked. And the thing that I came across so often is that people would have products that didn't make money. Yeah, they were selling things that you go, well, hold on a minute. How much does it cost to actually do that? And I go, I don't know. And you'd find that, you know, sometimes the cost of the product was more than they were getting for it. And you go, how about putting your prices up? Oh, I don't think people would wear that. Well, why do it? So I'm totally on board with what you're saying about understanding your numbers and knowing what's going on. So how do you do that? What's your processes? How do you get involved in it? Is it something that you offer to anyone, or do you work with individual businesses to make this happen?
Generally, it'll be individual businesses who will come to me.
Yep.
And it might be that they've got so far, they've built their business to a certain size.
Yep.
And they've done that based on their gut and their instinct. And suddenly they say, actually, I now need to get to the point where I can grow something sustainable.
Yep.
So I need to know what parts of my business are profitable for me, what products, what services should I keep, what should I streamline? Mm. Is my marketing actually giving me a return? Who's my target customer? And am I actually managing to get those customers in? So suddenly they're hit with all these questions.
Yep.
Whereas when they're starting, anything would work as an experiment. But they've grown to a certain size, actually, I need to move on and I need to see what's happening.
Yep.
So it might be that they just want to kind of set up some monitoring so they can generally measure what's happening, or there might be particular parts of their business where it's actually critical they know what's going on and they can't see it today.
Yep.
Or they actually think there's something there, I want to do it, I've tried to do it and I can't get there myself.
Right.
So generally it's those three things that they've been going for a while, they're quite established up to a point, and suddenly they think, actually, I need to get this expertise in and to know these answers to get that confidence to make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely right. And sometimes it can be very successful businesses, and businesses that have been around a long time, they still haven't got a clue what's actually going on and what works and what doesn't. I mean, because there's the famous book by Richard Koch called The 80-20 Principle that says 20% of all your income, or 80% of all your income comes from 20% of your customers.
Yep.
And that 80-20 thing has been shown over and over again to be relatively true. And of course, if you kind of understood that in your business, you'd run your business in a slightly different way. So I'm fascinated, Lucia, by what were the kind of things you do. How do you start this process? If I come to you as a client, I go, right, I need your help. I need to know what's going on. What's the first kind of places that you look, and how do you start to go about assembling the data?
Yeah, well, what I did for my first year was I set up different products and services. So I had one product, which was about setting up your data dashboard and visualizations.
Right.
To kind of bring all your data in and actually set up what you wanted to see, whether it's on a weekly and monthly basis. So integrating lots of information. So it could be a management pack. It could tell you, it could look by product, by regional breakdowns or anything else that you needed to know. So I kind of start by one. Some people come to me and ask me, can you assemble this pack? So I then work with them, get the information out, put it into some like Power BI, which is free, which they tend to like, and then present it back to them.
Right.
And then we can then use that for a part. So as people start with a certain point where they actually say, I just want general information.
Yep.
But other people come to me and say, there's something in my business I really need to know. So what I've ended up doing is quite a lot of little investigations for people where they said, actually, you know, can you take my website, run Google Analytics, tell me what's happening in my website? Am I attracting the customers I thought I was going to get? Are they going through the process? You know, do they look like who I want them to be? How effective has my marketing been?
I'm kind of fascinated that you said that. I struggled with Google Analytics and I threw it away eventually because the problem I had with Google and the radio station is that Google Analytics didn't recognise radio players. So according to Google Analytics, nobody ever listened to the radio show because it assumed that once you clicked on it, you'd left the website. Yeah. So I threw that away and I used a thing called Stack Counter instead.
Yeah.
But I still struggle with those devices because although they claim to show you routes and stuff like that, it really is very basic. I mean, it really doesn't tell you a huge amount at all, to be honest. That's possibly because I don't know how to use it properly and I'm not sure what I'm looking at. But do you find those products useful as a starting point?
Yes, I think Google Analytics has got limitations, but compared to doing nothing, it's much better.
Yeah, of course.
And if you're clear, if you say, this is how my website works, this is the goal of my website,
yeah.
I want people to do this particular call to action, I want them to spend this long looking at these different pages. Yeah. So if you're clear about why you set up your website, and if you can use Google Analytics and get the right information to actually say, I can see it's doing this for those particular outcomes, you're fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you do this with the things that you're doing as well, but one of the other things that really staggers me about even some quite reasonably sized and large businesses is they don't seem to have regular management accounts. You know, they don't seem to know their monthly numbers. You know? And I just think, really? You really don't know what you made last month and what you spent last month? Is that wise? But the amount of companies I've come across that don't is unbelievable. Yeah. Is that something you also will feed into the dashboard, if necessary?
Yes, generally the accountant would produce. I do work for people and they've got a management accountant who produces the full weekly accounts.
Yeah.
And then we bring the information back in.
Yeah.
I think the value I add is the things it's not so easy to get out of just the accounts. It's that kind of longer-term history, the breakdown. Because I've done work for a company and they've got four different subdivisions.
Yeah.
And they didn't know for the subdivisions how much money one of them was making.
Yep.
So you actually managed to then go down to that level and then bring it back up. So it's that information which you can't get to so easily.
Yeah, absolutely. Because management accounts in themselves are only as good as the data that you put into them. So if you don't collect the data in the right way in the first place, then, you know, you've only got at best a kind of rough overview.
Yep.
So again, I mean, the fact that you're kind of breaking things down and making them obvious is really powerful. It defies me. I don't understand why everybody doesn't do it.
To jump in. I think if what you're really good at is, for example, selling beautiful clothes on the high street.
Yeah.
Numbers are just not what you want to do.
Oh, for sure.
And and you may even shy away from them. They frighten you. This is why business needs Lucia. It's not what you want to do, so
no,
it's
absolutely
not where you're going to put your effort. So it makes perfect sense to me that businesses don't do numbers. I don't do numbers, and they make my heart pound when I start to think about them. It's why we need Lucia.
Yeah, yeah.
So I completely understand why, especially a small business owner, just does not want to look at it.
Oh,
so
for sure.
Having Lucia give you the ability to push a button and show you what you need to know, and then you can make decisions, but you can also close that screen and move on.
Yeah,
totally understand.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's a massive problem. These days, with the amount of stuff you have to do as well, like VAT returns and all that, people hate it. You know, you're absolutely right, Barbara. People didn't go into business to become a bookkeeper or to become a data analyst. They went in to become a florist or a hairdresser or whatever it is their business is, because that's what they do. Unfortunately, when you run a business, it's the other stuff that you have to concentrate on, not the flowery stuff. So you're absolutely right. So getting someone in like Lucia is kind of the answer, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing I do is I kind of present people's data back to them.
Yeah.
And they've often had a thought or a hunch or something wasn't working, and they actually see me doing it, and I'm not part of the business, so I go and say, this is what the data tells me.
Yeah.
And so they go, powerful. Wow, I absolutely knew that, or I'm surprised about that.
Yeah.
So it gives you that confidence that actually it is the right decision to make.
Yeah, because sometimes you intuitively think something, don't you? But you can't be 100% sure, and you don't want to make judgments based on a guess.
No.
If you can help it,
And then sometimes it's something you can then actually implement yourself in the business. Some people say, I want something I can do in the business.
Yeah.
So I set up the methodology, help them implement it. And other people just want me to do that work for them, then review it every 3-6 months, whatever's appropriate.
So basically, let's make sure that I understand what you're saying here. So you set up a dashboard of collecting the kind of data that they want to collect.
Yep.
And then you can leave it so that it runs and they can implement their data themselves and run from there by doing the data themselves, presumably until they need to change that and go, I need to do something else now.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I like it.
Do you find that they prefer you to come into the company because they trust what you're finding and that you've got nothing to hide, rather than perhaps an employee? And this isn't suggesting, but I would, you know, it would be like, because we don't want to show that I'm failing at what I'm doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Do you feel that as that consultant part of you coming in, actually they're true figures? Then that's probably a better way of putting it.
I think it is, because I don't have an agenda behind
that's
it.
Right.
I'm not working for one department or another department. So I've got an objective objector.
Yeah.
And then them also, I look at things in a different way they do, because it's not my business. So I'm not looking at the things which are closest to them or furthest away from them.
Because you're feeding back as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is. It's a bit like the conversation we had earlier about collecting information. I'm an information collector.
What, toilet rolls?
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, it's about knowing everything.
Yeah.
And Lucia's in the same mould as me. She likes to know everything about what's going on. And that's really what it boils down to, is knowing what's going on and knowing what is all the numbers and stuff.
How do people take your feedback? Because it always intrigues me.
Mainly good. They don't necessarily choose to implement it, because although the data might say something, they might say, actually, my heart is to do this particular thing.
Yeah,
I know it's
yeah.
not the most profitable for me, but it's something I most believe
but
in.
But I like doing
therefore,
it.
Therefore, they're
yeah,
going to
yeah.
do it anyway.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily have to take my advice, mm-hmm. but actually at times they actually go, well, that's really hard, you know. And actually, I think I'm going to spend a bit more time on that. And actually, might focus them just to spend more time thinking about it themselves, because it sets off this conversation in their head. As before, they hadn't thought about a certain thing might not be working or might not be right, or they might need to make changes to it. Whereas when it's highlighted, it suddenly gets their mind going. So it might be a process that just gets you to thinking, actually, yes, this is something I want to think about more. And as you think about it more, they then make the changes they want to make.
Mm. Mm. It's really interesting, and maybe we'll explore this with Barbara later on in the interview about the customer experience. But I think you're absolutely right as well. There's a lot of myths. I mean, you're seeing it at the moment on social media. So many people go, oh, you know, business is all about making money, da, 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 da. Nothing could be further than the truth. Yes, we're all in business to make money if we can. But I know hundreds of business people that do things that make them no money at all, but they do it as part of their business because they want to, because they enjoy it, because it gives something back, because the customers like it, although it doesn't generate anything. And they don't want to give that up because it's a different reason for doing it. It's not financial, yeah? It's emotional. Yeah.
They've got that vision. They've got their vision about what they want their business to look like.
Yeah, and the moral values of a business, as opposed to the profit and loss of a business. Absolutely. And I get that. And that happens in my business all the time. I do dozens of things that cost me money rather than make me money. And you do it because you want to. Mm-hmm. And you know, I suppose the problem that you could face is when you tell people, look, you're doing that and it doesn't make you any money, that they can go, I like doing it. But they're not, they wouldn't sell it in that way. You know, they can just get, well, I want to do it. Yeah.
That's fine. I think if you've got a plan of something you want to do and you're going to do it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think it's really useful to have an overall plan of how you use the data within your business.
Exactly.
And I've moved away slightly from these individual products and services because I've created this new workshop, which is all about you setting up then, actually spending time with me. This is where you want to get to.
Right.
This is your data you've got available. These are the reports you'd like to do. Then actually, how do you implement that within your business?
Right.
So I'm trying to go to a more general, actually start the point from this is where I'd like to be with my data, how I use it, and this is how I can get there.
Mm.
And then I think that answers more questions than a one-off investigation to particular products.
Absolutely, yeah. And I like the way that you're doing that, because you're not going, this is the numbers, pay attention. Yeah, what you're saying is, this is how you collect data in your business. Yeah, what you do with it and how you react to it is entirely up to you, but this is the data and this is how you find out what's going on. You know, I'll make no other comment other than that's the data. Mm. Yeah.
And we're reporting to lots of people at any time. You've got your staff you're reporting to.
Yeah.
You've got the senior management. You might have investors. You might have the bank. So you also want a variety of information to share with different levels as
well. Yeah, you might present it in slightly different ways.
Exactly. And there might only be five things that your business needs to know about, but you might have 200 pieces of data. data. And you can't spend your time analysing 200 pieces a month. So if you can really work out what you need to know.
Yeah, it's the core. It's the core things, isn't it? There's probably a lot of things there that are nice to know, maybe, but not critical to what you're trying to do. But no, I get that.
What is it that you see in businesses, time and time again, that you think businesses need to know that figure? What would you say? That's the one thing. If only everybody could use that one figure.
I'd say it's what they're spending on their marketing and how much benefit they get from the marketing.
Return on investment.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I see it a lot in marketing. People come to me, I'm spending this money on social media, I'm doing this much networking, I'm doing this activity. And they add in their time and their cost to the return that they're getting. And actually, they start 4 years ago and suddenly over time their business changes. Suddenly they're getting a lot more referrals, but they're still paying out money for the same places where they started.
And do you find, I guess you do because you kind of intimated it in what you just said, but do you find that they don't fully appreciate the full costs of something that they're doing because they don't put their time and effort, you know, their time into it?
Of course, you can just sit there literally with a piece of paper. Some of them, and for a month, we just track it by a piece of paper and then turn that into information, which they've never had before. And even doing it over a month, they're so much more mindful of it. It's on their mind.
Yeah.
Suddenly they look at it in a totally different way.
Because there are a lot of things, though, where the return on investment is incredibly hard to work out. Yeah, you know, social media, for instance.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes the return could be a long way in the future. I talk about pipelines when I'm talking about marketing, you know, and you go and do things. So, for instance, you go to a networking meeting and you meet 20 new people. It's very rare that you come away with any business from that. But what you've done is you've planted a seed that might come to fruition in X months' time, depending on what business you're in. Yeah, you know, if you were selling car leases, you know, people don't go, oh, I came out today to buy a dog and you've persuaded me to buy a car. Yeah, that they'll change their car in 2 or 3 years' time. But they might do that based on having talked to you a couple of years ago. So working out the return on investment on something like that is quite difficult. Yeah. I did a project years ago when I worked for a bank. I did a project, a joint venture with a telecoms company, and the whole project fell apart because our return on investment guidelines in the bank was 5 years and theirs as a telecoms company was 25 years. Yeah, because they did huge infrastructure projects and we just, you know, sold people money, basically. So those kind of things can be vastly different depending on what business you're in.
Absolutely. You need a good cash flow forecast just so you know you've got the money to spend to carry on spending at those levels until you think you'll get the benefit.
Yeah.
So if you've got that figure in your head and know how much you're going to have enough cash flow to do it, it's sustainable.
Yeah.
But if you're spending more money expecting to get a return later and you can't finance the business, fund the business in the meantime,
Absolutely. That's
when you're absolutely stuck. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people don't think about that either, do they? The cash flow needs of something at something like that. But I'm fascinated by this return on investment because from the other point of view, for those of us that sell in marketing services or services like that, our biggest struggle is saying, you know, why should you invest in what I do? You know, because people will go, well, what's my return on investment? And it's really hard to show that sometimes. So, I mean, how do you deal with that when you're putting together a dashboard for people with the money that they've spent on their sales and marketing? What are the kind of parameters you look at?
I try and get, it's often a kind of matrix. On one way, there's the effort to do it, so the actual time it's taking you to do it.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, there's a return you've got from it.
Yeah.
And try and do it in as much, because you might, even if you do say you go face-to-face networking, you might go to 10 different networking groups. So you need to kind of categorise them into kind of a low, medium, high in some way, or the kind of groups of people you're attracting, because you might have a business that's business to business or business to consumer. So you might actually say, from these different groups, on average, I get business customers, but their average value is higher than, say, if I sell to consumers. Yeah. However, for every two business customers, I might get 10 personal customers.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of trying to get a whole matrix together of actually what's important, what are the really important factors within that business.
And that's really great as well, isn't it? Because a lot of people, just talking about networking, a lot of people go to networking meetings without thinking about the kind of meeting they're going to. And you go, well, are you likely to meet people that buy what you sell there? And they haven't even thought about that. They've just gone along to the meeting and just...
Well, usually because the intention isn't to buy or to sell there, is it? It's to profile raise.
Yeah, but
years ago.
Absolutely.
Years down the line.
Yeah, absolutely it is. But if you're meeting people that aren't ever going to, you know...
Yeah, you're in the wrong arena...
If you're in the wrong arena in the first place, you're wasting your time and money, yeah.
I try and look for referrals. I try and go to business groups where people there are going to introduce me to people who are my target market. So I'll happily go to a meeting, know my target market aren't in the room.
Yeah.
But if I'm going there and then they're not introducing me to people who are in my target market, at that point it's actually, no, it's not right for me.
Yeah. Cool.
So interesting.
You were just going to ask something?
I was going to say the same thing about well-being. So you get well-being, there is this massive CSR thing that, you know, corporate social responsibility, blah, blah, blah. How do you measure it?
Yeah.
And over what timeline? It's just crazy, you know? And what return on investment do you get for it? But you know, well-being is one of the big areas in business that we have to cover.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are some down on the metal returns there that... Although it's still quite hard, isn't it? I mean, because a lot of it could be retrospective. So how much time did you lose last year in employee absenteeism due to stress and mental health issues? How could you stop that? But you can't 100% prove that that people didn't get ill next year because of what you implemented, rather than they just didn't get ill. Yeah.
And then actually, is that the intention of well-being in the corporate social responsibility? And the answer
it's
to that
it's only a small part of it. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
But, these are measurables that I always get intrigued with in the data.
Employee engagement surveys as well. Sickness rates. It might be PR. How many PR mentions that I had for my corporate social responsibility. If you're creative, there are things you can measure.
Exactly. Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's a fascinating subject, because the more you think about it, the more things you can think about, if you see what I mean.
It's less and less of a science and more of an art, which is what I really like. You know, there's cold, hard facts.
Yeah.
And then there's actually, how can I creatively try and measure something which isn't obvious?
She's really Miss Marple, isn't she? it's investigative stuff, isn't it? It's forensic investigation. Mm. It is. It's fascinating.
Forensic
because
data. Investigation.
Yeah, because it's as you say, it's as much an art as a science. It's about thinking about the kind of things you can think about, if you see what I mean. And there's an element of science, there's an element of data collection in there, but it isn't all about that. It's actually about thinking through the different ramifications of the different things you're doing.
It's all problem solving as well, which I love. You know, taking these,
Miss Marple's,
bringing it all together, and then trying to create a narrative and story behind it.
So. Absolutely, and that's fantastic. We're going to carry on the discussion because we're going to talk to Barbara from Customer Experience Consulting in the second half of the show, and we'll kind of come back to some of these things we're talking about. But for the moment, Lucia, thank you so much. If people want to find out more about Dello Analytics, what's the best way to do that?
My website's dellodataanalytics.co.uk. And you'll find my information there.
Okay, and you're on all the social media platforms as well, aren't you?
I am, yes.
But check it out on the websites there. If you didn't get that written down, it is on the Kent Business Radio website under today's show, which is show number 468. All the links are there, so you can find it there. For the moment, Lucia, thank you so much for that. It's a really fascinating insight into what you do. We got time to read one tweet or email, and then we can join the newsroom.
The 2020 Business Expo, a free event for key decision makers, inspirational keynote speakers, informative workshops, 80-plus exhibitors showcasing their projects, services, networking, breakfast and speed networking. Now, the speakers include Michaela Wayne, we had her on this show, the Apprentice finalist of 2017, MD Design, Buy and Build. You've got James Osborne, we've had on the show, who's the founder of Energy. We've had Daniel Knowlton, who we've never had on the show.
He won't come on. He's too shy. He doesn't like being on camera or on radio.
Yeah, righto. Co-founder of Knowlton Marketing. We've got Paul Hargreaves, the founder of Cotswold Fair. Have we had Paul?
No,
we haven't, have we? And we've had Kenda McDonald.
Oh, Kenda's brilliant. She's
CEO
you've got to listen
of
to Kenda.
Automation Ninjas. We've had her on the show.
We have had her on the show, and I've seen her speak a couple of times. She's brilliant. Yeah, she really is a knock-your-socks-off speaker.
So this is when I get really sad now, because I look at this and go, oh, 10th of June, I'm not here.
Nah.
Wednesday, 10th of June at Ashford International Hotel.
Well, we'll have to set up a web link so that you can see it from Remanda.
You won't even answer the phone. I nearly rang you last week because I actually was in the office and I thought, I'm going to ring him. It's no point. He won't even answer the phone.
Maybe
we should do a call-in.
We're going to have a regular call-in from Remanda. We're going to have our Remanda consultant calling in.
Let's do it.
Meanwhile, in Rwanda.
So you can go on. If you want to know more about the exhibiting and attending, you need to go to www.2020businessexpo.co.uk.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Andrew Harkin, who's copy and consult on the Twitter. And he says, hello, Paul. Can you give me a good old shout out on the Business Bunker show today? I thank you so much. Yeah, consider yourself shouted out, Andrew. Andrew is a direct marketing copywriter and consultant. So if you need a constant flow of qualified leads from your ideal potential clients, Andrew's your man. Give him a follow or look at his website, which is copyandconsult.com. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Barbara.